Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to look at the readings that the church gives us these days for daily mass, looking at one or two of them, highlighting important things. It's just really good to receive from the Word of God, to be fed by the Word of God, to be strengthened by the Word of God. There's nothing quite like the Word of God and its power and its authority, and there's no other word written anywhere like it. This is God's breathed word, if I can put it that way, right? And it's living and active. It has a capacity, Paul tells us, or the writer of Hebrews tells us, to penetrate deep, deep down to the very marrow of the bones. It goes deep into the human heart. And what it does is it manifests the intentions of the heart. So putting ourselves before the fiery word of God is really good. It's a really good idea because it helps us see the condition of our heart. And the Lord wants to transform us. We'll see in the readings here. He wants to give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, to replace a heart of stone, a heart that trusts profoundly, a heart that's tenderized and begins to learn how to love. And God's word is very significant. It does a kind of surgery on us, and it sheds light into us. It gives us a capacity to see where we're going and where he wants to lead us, but also where we are so that we can repent. Remember, he comes close and he shines his light so that we can see the truth, and we don't ever have to be afraid of the truth about who we are. And he wants us to be able to confess it, to receive forgiveness when we need to, you know, to not be afraid, to not have to be in the shadows or to hide. He wants us to see the condition of our heart and how he's transforming our heart from the one he himself described, Jesus described in the Gospels, when he said the human heart, he said, you know, what's in the human heart is what defiles man, that there's something deep in the core. It's not that we just occasionally stumble, but what we need, the salvation means in part getting a new heart, because we have a sin-sick heart that can't heal itself. We need a heart transplant. We need the heart of Jesus. We need the heart that loves God first and gives to God what belongs to God, and a heart that loves our neighbor and loves ourselves in God in the right way. And only God can do that. That's part of what he's doing in transforming us and saving us. You know, one of the differences between some of our Protestant brothers and sisters see the work of salvation at this point of justification is that I think Martin Luther had an image of a pile of cow manure, and in the wintertime, white snow just covering that cow manure, and that this is what God's justification, what God's work does over us, and we're covered. It's still all manure under there, but we're covered ultimately. And God the Father sees the covering of his son Jesus over us. Well, the Catholic Church sees it a little bit differently than that, and that really the transformation that begins to happen to us in baptism, we become a new creation, but there's a transformation that begins right here in this life. And we can see it in the lives of the saints, that literally their hearts become over time perfected in love by God's grace, by God's power, and the capacity to grow in holiness and to bear the image of God in this world is extraordinary, but it's because of what God's doing, because of the work God wants to do here. It's not like he just covers it all until we get there, and then it happens. It actually begins here, and we can become, and we're meant to be, we're called to live as saints, and that's a deep trust in God. So St. Paul touches on some of the ways in which the Spirit is at work in us in this reading today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and following. He said, "Brothers and sisters, such confidence we have through Christ toward God." He said that he had talked about them being a letter to God, and their very lives were a letter, that God's work was happening inside them and it was being manifested. The transformation was beginning to happen. And he said, "Not that of ourselves we are qualified to take credit for anything as coming from us. Rather, our qualification comes from God. We are who we are," essentially, he's saying, because of the work God has done in us, first bringing us into being, but the work of the Spirit. "Rather, our qualification comes from God, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant." It's the authority Paul has as an apostle to teach, and the truth he's proclaiming, the authority it's been given to him by God. and God has anointed him and blessed him and made it possible for him to represent the Lord at that level, the level of authority and his communication in the role he has as an apostle. He said, again, who has indeed qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of the Spirit. You see a contrast here that there's the movement in the New Testament. It doesn't leave behind totally the Old Testament, but they come together. But what has been said in the Old Testament is reaching its fulfillment now in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, in the work of the Spirit. The law that was written on stone now is written on human hearts. And the letter is not just, you know, an external letter, but it's being written in your heart, in your life. God is writing it. He's writing the story in the Holy Spirit at work in you. For the letter brings death, but the Spirit gives life, Paul says. It's powerful words. The letter brings death. What comes to my mind here, and there's probably more to it than this, but clearly, you know, Paul describing at one point that the commandments of God, which are good and they're meant for good, meant to be a light for my path, instead, because of original sin, because of the fallen human nature, because of the work of the flesh in us, the law which was meant for our good condemns us. What does it mean? Well, we're called, above all, the summary of the law is what? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. When that light shines on my heart or your heart, and any human heart, no one is fulfilling that law. And so the law which was meant for good ends up exposing us as failing to fulfill the law. And as a result, it condemns us. We're condemned under the law. But Christ has come in our place. He's lived this life, and he did fill the law full. He loved God to the end. He loved us to the end. And he loved himself in God to the end. Jesus becomes the incarnation, the actual fulfillment. Where Adam failed, Jesus fulfilled. And he begins a new race of people. And he opens up the whole horizon now. And the Spirit of God was with Jesus and in Jesus. And now, Paul says, the letter brings death, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit is the new law written on our hearts. And both Jeremiah and Ezekiel talk about this reality, that God writes his law in our hearts and he gives us a new heart. And that new heart is the work of the Spirit in us. And now Christianity isn't just a legal system or a moral striving primarily, but it's a new life in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We surrender to the Spirit. We know we're not alone just out here trying to be perfect. What we're trying to do is simply yield to the grace of the Spirit of God that's teaching us how to love and to love what God loves and to walk in love. We have a new power, a new capacity in us to live a new way of life. And we stumble, fall, and the Lord knows that. That's why he's given us the church. That's why he's given us the sacraments. Every little step we take, friends, in the Spirit, the Lord rejoices in, and we stumble and we fall, we need to run to him and to know that he's there to receive us, to help us, to strengthen us, to restore us, to move us forward. Paul goes on now, if the ministry of death, he talks about really the law, the ministry of the law, carved in letters on stone was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look intently on the face of Moses because of its glory that was going to fade, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit be glorious? So he's comparing. So Moses went into the tent of meeting with the Lord, and he would behold the glory of God, and his face would be radiant, and it would be too much for the people. And when he left the tent, he'd cover his face. But even that, as glorious as it was fading, which some writers say is the reason why Moses wore the veil, to not reveal the fact that it was fading. But Paul's making a contrast here. It was wonderful what Moses experienced, but it faded. Peter talks about this same thing. He said, the inheritance we have is undefiled and it's unfading. Why? Because the inheritance is Jesus. Jesus is clothed in glory for all eternity. And the power and the glory and the majesty and the love and the wonder and everything that's him will never fade. For if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, the ministry of righteousness will abound much more in glory. So the ministry of condemnation, meaning we're condemned under the law. And even though the glory of God was revealed to Moses and God revealed his glory in various ways in the people of Israel, it wasn't enough. We had to have the sin problem dealt with, because the sin problem was condemning us and leaving us subject to death and eternal separation from God. The ministry of righteousness will abound much more with glory. Indeed, what was endowed with glory has come to have no glory in this respect, because the glory that surpasses it, the glory that was on Moses, nothing compared to the glory of Christ Jesus. He's entered fully into heavenly glory. He didn't just get a glimpse. He's now clothed in glory, and he's brought with him in his flesh those who die in him, brought us into that eternal glory. We have a down payment and a promise of it in the Holy Spirit. For if what was going to fade was glorious, how much more, Paul says, will what endures be glorious? Friends, we'll hear hopefully the words of St. Paul in this same letter before the week is out. Actually, I'll just do it right now. I'll just read it right now. Paul's perspective regarding the glory of God and what we've been given and what awaits us. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." This is one of the promises of God. Scripture is full of promises. And hopefully we're learning more about the promises of God, and your mind and your heart can be filled with the promises of God that will cause you to rejoice, because you know he's not a man that he should lie. And the Lord will be faithful to every one of his promises. And this is one of them. What we're experiencing here, friends, it seems like the whole show, like it's the entire horizon that we have. And we get caught up in what the fallen dimension of the world, the angst, the anger, the division, the fears, the response to sickness, to the kinds of things that are here and obviously objectively troubling. We live in a battlefield. There's no doubt about it. But Paul here and in many other places, the Lord is, lift up your eyes to the heavens where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and that help has come to you. It's not like it's not with you. He's in you if you're baptized into Christ. And all the help we need to do what? To both grow here in holiness, to learn how to walk in love, to become more and more everything the Lord meant us to be, and to fulfill our destiny on this earth, and to enter into the glory of heaven. And Paul reminds us, this is a slight momentary affliction. It's going to be over soon, very soon, for each and every one of us, because life is a breath. It's a passing shadow. Was it Teresa of Avila who said, all the suffering on earth is like, once you get to heaven, you look at it and you say, it's like one night in a bad hotel. You know? It seems overwhelming now, but that's because our gaze is on the circumstance. We need to lift our eyes to the heavens. Lift our hearts to the heavens. Believe what the Lord has revealed to you and begin to enter into, with the help of the Spirit, a greater capacity to behold the glory of the Lord, to receive that glory in your life, and to see your life in it, in the glory and the promise of God for you. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've accomplished. Lord, I pray for everyone listening, and each one of us could internalize this and be transformed and walk in it for your glory. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.